Welcome to the Property Elite podcast. I'll be your host, Jen Lehman, Chartered Surveyor and co-founder of Property Elite. Stay tuned each week for more on industry hot topics, market updates, and new RICS guidance. In this week's podcast, I take a look at defective housing and the Housing Act 1985. It's essential listening for all residential pathway, RICS APC and associate candidates, as well as any building surveying candidates reporting on residential property. Following World War II, there was a national shortage of housing. To meet high demand and increase the limited supply of housing, new construction methods were adopted, primarily by local authorities and public bodies. These new methods were typically non-traditional, so not traditional brick and block cavity or solid walls, and prefabricated to construct new homes quickly and efficiently. Prefabrication was efficient because it used minimal imported material, did not require heavy plant for construction, used unskilled labour on site as labour, skilled or not, had been depleted by the war, and it created cost efficiencies. These construction methods aimed to provide a short-term rather than a long-term solution to the problem. Unfortunately, by the 1980s, many of these non-traditional housing types were found to contain defects, which could lead to structural failure over the long term. These defects were investigated in detail by BRE research in the early 1980s, following a fire in a non-traditional airy house. Airy houses, approximately 26,000 of them, were constructed between 1945 and 1955. They were effectively a kit house that was assembled on site in a variety of layouts and sizes. The construction comprised prefabricated concrete columns on each story, clad with concrete shiplap panels. The columns were reinforced with steel tubing recovered from military trucks. Key issues with construction, though, included the steel tubing was exposed at the end of the concrete columns. There were narrow columns with thin gauge concrete, which provided little protection for the steel tubing. There was no cavity insulation. The cladding was not overly weatherproof. And the construction often used asbestos, such as in floor tiles, fire breaks, and the roof. And this is not an exhaustive list. These issues led to the steel tubing being corroded, so rusting. In addition, chemical changes occurred in the thin concrete, which removed the alkaline protection for the reinforcement, causing it to corrode. Both of these actions caused serious cracking within the concrete structure. BRE research into airy houses found that approximately 25% had no cracked columns, 33% had more than 30% columns cracked, and 42% had some cracked columns, but they were not in an advanced state of deterioration. Airy houses in wetter and colder geographic regions, such as Northwest and Wales, had higher incidences and extent of defects. We'll look at other defective housing types, though, in a future podcast and blog. Also, head to our website blog. We've got some videos and photographs of airy houses to put everything into context. So what happened next? In 1984, controversy surrounding defective housing types, exacerbated by the Right to Buy scheme, led to the government introducing the Housing Defects Act 1984, which was later consolidated into Part XV1 of the Housing Act 1985. This designated certain housing types as defective, such as airy, Cornish unit, Doran, Orlett, and Woolloway. Owners of these defective housing types, around 31,000 nationally, which had been purchased from the public sector under right to buy schemes, were offered either 90% of the cost towards repairing the defects, subject to a cap and not permitting any improvements, or repurchase of the house at 95% of the defect-free value. The government scheme reflected the fact that the serious inherent defects could not have been identified by a survey at the time of purchase and substantially reduced the value of the property. The latest claims under the scheme were made around 1994. Most defective properties were repaired under the PRC Precast Reinforced Concrete Homes Limited, a subsidiary of NHBC repair scheme. However, PRC Homes Limited ceased trading in 1997. Defective properties can still be repaired, but without any funding provided by the historic government scheme. In 2016, the BRE set up the PRC repair scheme to certificate repairs to certain types of defective PRC homes, whilst other licensed PRC schemes are also available. Completion certificates are issued by a specialist structural engineer following repair works. The property is then considered acceptable to most lenders and insurers. For an airy house, for example, the repair works include removing the concrete panels and columns and replacing them with brick and blockwork. These works typically take 6 to 7 weeks and the occupants do not need to be decanted. It's important to note that under the PRC certification scheme, a repaired property had to be capable of standing alone, even if it was attached to another property. This would apply in the case of a repaired semi-detached or terraced property where the adjoining property or properties hadn't been repaired. Some mortgage lenders will not lend on a repaired property attached to a repaired property. In addition, there could be an impact on value of differing aesthetics and reduced curb appeal. You can see this visually on our website blog comparing neighbouring repaired and non-repaired properties. Some local authorities also only undertook partial repairs such as overcladding, which means that a PRC certificate won't have been issued. Properties that are only partially repaired are typically not considered mortgageable. So what do surveyors need to be aware of? Surveyors need to be able to identify both traditional and non-traditional housing types. Within non-traditional types, surveyors need to be able to identify defective housing types and whether these have been satisfactorily repaired or not under the PRC scheme. This might also include whether neighbouring properties have also been repaired. It's also important to be aware of the differences between the different types of repair schemes and what these differences mean. Most importantly, the PRC Homes Limited Repair Scheme was the most thorough and required the repaired property to have no structural reliance on the original concrete structure. This didn't mean, though, that it had to be removed completely. It also allowed for individual properties in the terrace to be repaired in isolation from the rest of the terrace. However, marketability and hence value of such a property may still be adversely affected. Other individual schemes need to be checked in detail to assess the extent of the repairs. It's important to note that not all non-traditional system-built properties are designated as defective. It's only those designated by the Act that are defective. Surveyors need to be familiar with the types of properties they may encounter within their local area, together with the associated defects they may find within the local housing stock. Surveyors carrying out mortgage valuations also need to be familiar with their individual lender clients' guidance, as this will confirm whether a specific housing type is considered mortgageable or not, plus any guidance on defective housing types and repair certificates. Remember, marketability in the area is key to the advice provided to a lender, irrespective of how well a property has been repaired. For example, Leeds Building Society's mortgage lending criteria and guidance confirms the following. Non-standard construction. The valuer's guidance notes include a full list of acceptable construction types. PRC concrete properties are not normally acceptable. However, they may be considered where the valuer states that resaleability is unaffected and the property has been repaired under a PRC Homes Limited approved scheme. Importantly, all adjacent dwellings must have been repaired. For example, all homes in a terrace or both homes in the event of being semi-detached. Thanks for listening to the Property Elite podcast this week. Head to our website to check out our full blog, free and paid support resources and services, free consultation for every single RICS APC and ASOC RICS candidate, and also ask us any questions you have via the website chat blog. See you next week.